You're listening to a sermon from Pastor Kevin Wellborn of Highland Baptist Church in Clovis, New Mexico. Now, here's Pastor Kevin.
Amen. You may be seated. Some of my favorite songs were sang this morning. I appreciate it, John and praise team. An old song, I think it's called The Love of God. You may have to remind me afterwards and correct me, but one of the verses says something to the effect of, "Were with ink the ocean filled, and the sky of parchment made, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God would drain the oceans dry." Now, isn't that a good word this morning? And when we talk about indescribable, we know the God of heaven and earth truly is indescribable in our human tongues. In any language, we do not have adequate words to describe the God of heaven and earth. And not just in His majesty, but also in the fact that He even cares about you. I certainly will stand here and say, in my 35 years on earth, God has been very good to me. Way better than I deserve. I was in college, and I apologize for those who have been around for a while here at Highland. You've heard this story a million times. I was in college not at East Texas Baptist, but at the community college. I went to the first year out of high school, and I need to preface that because you're going to be like, wow, that guy's a professor at a Baptist school? No, it was at the community college, and they're in my hometown, and this professor had known my family for years, and he knew that I was a Christian and knew which church I was a part of. And first day of class, he's kind of checking the roll to see who's there to make sure people showed up and all of that type of stuff. And I'm about the last one on the list, and he says, "Wellborn?" I say, "Yes, sir." He said, "You're one of them Baptists, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes." And this guy had a pretty rough reputation, so I was digging in for a debate there the first day of class. I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "I went to a Baptist church once, and I found out that I had done enough in the last 15 minutes to go to hell." And this is one of those times where you say something you wish you hadn't said. I said, "Yeah, that sounds about right." Now, I meant that we all need the grace of God, not that you're a terrible person. And so I spent the rest of the semester trying to cover my tracks on what I had said to him. But you know what the truth is? My best 15 minutes don't get me into heaven. It's all because of the grace of God and the mercy of Jesus Christ. Let's go back to 1 John. We started there last week. We're going to be in 1 John again for the next several weeks. Just a powerful book. Very, I would say, bare bones and honest. Not that any part of the Bible is deceptive, but a lot of this is in black and white. And a lot of it, truth be told, will hurt our feelings. Okay? And remember, when we come to hurting our feelings, if God wrote it, it's so you might as well deal with it. Okay? But 1 John chapter 1. In verse 5 says this: "This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." Tell you what, let's pray one more time. Lord Jesus, again, we thank You for today. We thank You for Your word and the truth that is in here. I pray that today the truth of the back half of 1 John chapter 1 will be made very evident to us and be made obvious to us. God, I think it's very basic stuff, but sometimes our hearts need to be prepared to hear even the basics. God, I pray that You would use me as an empty vessel. God, You would speak to me in a powerful way just in the next few minutes. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First point is this, is the foundation of the whole message is God is light. Okay, now we know light is more powerful than darkness. Okay, we know that the human eyeball, if we were to go outside west of town, if you get out past west of the Air Force Base, and let's say you even get farther west than Melrose, and you're in between Melrose and Fort Sumner, if it's a clear night and there's no obstructions like buildings or formations in front of you, if somebody has a candle out there in the middle of nowhere, the human eye can perceive candlelight from 14 miles away in pure darkness. So we know light is stronger than the darkness. The Bible says here that God is light. If you go back to verse 6, it actually, at the very end of verse 6, it says, "We lie and do not practice the truth." Very easily, I think John could have said, "We do not practice," or "We do not walk in the light," right there. So he almost uses truth and light interchangeably right here. So it's not a far stretch for me to say that not only is God light, God is truth. If there's anything outside of God, it's not truth. If there's anything that agrees with God, it is truth. Nothing is understood until understood in the light of God. Now, I realize that I grew up in church. I was literally in church when I was probably 4 or 5 days old. Many of you didn't grow up in church. You know what? That's okay. I'm glad you're here now. I'm glad the Lord has saved you and you are a part now. But think back before you knew the Lord. Even myself growing up in church for 17 years and being there every Sunday and Wednesday and at all the events and being there early because my mom played the organ and was in choir and all of that type of stuff. Think back before you knew the Lord. Think when you were walking on your own power and your own might and your own mind and you were making your own decisions. How differently does the world look today now that you trust God and you look at the world through the lens of knowing Christ? Things are different, are they not? If they're not different, they ought to be different. Amen. Okay, I know that on my worst day, the worst thing that could happen to me if I were to lose my life tragically, my next breath would literally be in heaven. That's pretty reassuring. That's pretty comforting. I know somebody fairly well that is terrified of death. What you think? If you think about it, I know our brains don't work like this, but it's pretty imminent. Or it's going to happen. None of us get out of this thing alive, right? Which is a depressing thought until you line that up with the fact that if you know Jesus, you got nothing to worry about. Okay? God is truth. When we say, we don't say these things, but when the world tells us there are many ways, there are many avenues to heaven, there are many avenues to truth, I disagree with that very strongly. I think there's one way. I love the fact that we serve a God of the Bible that claims to be exclusive. When he says, hey, there's none other, I like that. Okay, how different would the Bible look if he said, hey, I'm a fairly decent option? No, he says, no, it's me. It's me. Oh, Dizzy Dean, the old baseball player, it ain't bragging if you can do it. God says, hey, I can handle this. Put all your trust in me. There's no other. All right, what if there were a bunch of different options? Today, this will happen at Highland Baptist Church. After church, after the invitation and all of that, you and your family or a group of friends or whatever, you will get together and you will discuss where you will eat. And in Clovis, there's a decent amount of choices if we're honest. Okay, now sometimes we fall into the trap like, well, there's nothing here. There's a couple dozen places you can go eat after church. But you're going to get, maybe you don't do this, maybe this is just my family and I'm just telling on us. But you'll get together and you'll say, you know what, where are we going to go eat? I have no idea. Well, and I'll say, and Kara will testify to this, I'll say, Kara, wherever you want to go, and then Kara will throw out a suggestion. I'll say, no, let's not go there. Amen. That was your chance, Kara, to say amen right there. All right. But we'll get together, and if we have a couple dozen options to eat, even that's confusing. When we would go eat with our extended family back home in Mount Pleasant after church, my mom, my sister, whoever we would go out to eat with, we had the same as Clovis, a couple dozen options. And what we would do every Sunday, we'd say, well, let's just go to the same place we always go. We go to the same place. Well, we should have just marked it down at noon. If you need to find us, we're going to be at El Chico. Okay? What if you had a couple dozen options for eternity? How would you even make that choice? Did God not do you a favor by saying, hey, it's just me and there is no other shot. Because if there was a bunch of different options for us, we would be running around. You ever seen a chicken with its head cut off? They literally run around. Sorry, I'm a hick, but I've seen it happen. We wouldn't know what to do because we would have so many different options. Can you imagine your eternity at stake and you got to pick? We're not talking about one meal. We're not talking about lunch. Well, God is light. God is truth. And he did us a huge favor when he said, I'm the only way. When Jesus said, hey, if you know me, you know the Father. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And I love this. It is truth that is full of joy and hope. It is not dark and foreboding, but it is free. If you read statistics about mental depression and all that, and obviously I don't claim to be an expert on any of those things, but it seems to be more prevalent in areas where it's cloudy and rainy or dark and cold more so than when it's sunny. Okay? When we talk about God being light, literally there is joy and hope in God. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean that everything is going to be perfect all the time, but when we say, I have hope in Jesus Christ, man, that is good news. Even the things that you deal with, maybe it is mental, maybe it's anxiety or depression or so. Those things are very real, and I understand that, and I know that. But you know, one day that we'll live in a place where those things no longer exist. Because in Jesus Christ, in heaven, when we walk the streets of gold, those things, we don't even need to worry about those things up there. Isn't that good news? Whatever you struggle with, maybe you don't struggle with those things, but whatever it is, one day you won't struggle with those things. And when we go to heaven, there's no sun there. Why not? Who's the light of the whole thing? God. So my first point, when I say God is light, that's pretty biblically accurate, is it not? God is light, full of joy and hope. The last couple of weeks, we've prayed a lot for my great aunt. My great aunt did pass away early in the morning yesterday. But you know what? We're sad and we're mourning, but the Bible says we mourn, but we don't mourn like non-believers do. Why is that? Because my great aunt, Lonella Spivey, is walking the streets of gold right now. That's not a blind hope. I believe in that 100%. I'll take that to my grave believing that. You know what? At one time, and I've shared this also, you gotta forgive me, I told you I have 7 stories. Once in my life, and I praise the Lord for this, this has only been one time in my entire life, I went to the funeral service of somebody who was not a believer. I was 14 years old. He was a boyfriend of one of my best friend's sister. So we went to the actually we went to the visitation, not the funeral itself. We went to the visitation the night before, and as a 14-year-old, I had been to several funerals. I had been to nursing homes because of my great-grandparents had been in nursing homes, so I was not unaccustomed to being in funeral homes and nursing homes and things like that. But I walked into the building. I had been to funerals in this building probably 6 times at least. So I was familiar with it. I knew the layout of the building and all of that. I knew the guys that owned that funeral home. But when you walk in the door, immediately there was a different feeling. Maybe for the first time in my life, or definitely for the first time in my life, I felt what it was like to lose a loved one who had zero hope. I could physically feel the despair in the air. Because I had seen my great-grandparents pass, but they knew the Lord. In a relatively short time after that, all 4 of my grandparents passed away, but they all had hope. There's a difference. What's the difference? Is it because the family was well taken care of and the person that died had life insurance so they didn't have to worry about the payment of the funeral? No, that's not the difference. The difference is that God is light and God is truth. He was the difference in those situations. I'll tell you, one day what's going to happen is I'll pass away. I know it's going to, unless the Lord comes back first, and that's what I'm praying for, but if he doesn't, I'll pass away. You know what? I expect you to be there, okay, if you're still around, all right? Just kidding. But you know what I expect? If you're still around, if we're in Clovis or we're wherever God calls us, I want you to know something. you have zero need to worry about me because of Jesus Christ. So when you walk in there, shed some tears. I want you to be downtrodden a little bit, but you don't have to worry about me because Jesus has forgiven me of all my sins. If this is not even close to what's in my notes, you'll notice I've abandoned those. Make it easy on the preacher. Know the Lord Jesus before you pass. That's true. Talk to any preacher or pastor you know. Doing the service of somebody that may or may not have known the Lord is a difficult thing. Okay? Make it easy on everybody. Know the Lord before you go. God is truth and God is light. Let's see what the notes do say. I'm sure there's some good stuff in here. All right, I'll tell you what. Light is the promise of hope and joy. Darkness is the threat of despair and misery. Number one, God is light. Number two, walk in the light. To walk in the light, I think it helps us to know what walking in darkness is like. Go to chapter 2 of 1 John. Chapter 2, verse 8. 1 John chapter 2, verse 8 says this, "At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling." Listen to verse 11. "But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes." What is walking in darkness like? It is literally, according to 1 John chapter 2, hating your brother. 1 John tells us later that we ought to be willing to lay down our life for our brother. Okay? I've had a few people in my life look me right in the eyeball and they've meant every word of it and they said, "I would die for you." You know what? I don't want them to have to, but that I know when these guys have said that to me, they literally mean it. And I know that they care about me and they love me. Even though we may disagree on some things, they love me. Go back to verse 8. It says, at the last phrase of verse 8, right after, it says, "Because the darkness is passing away." Verse 17 also says, has that term. It says, "And the world is passing away along with its desires." So what is walking in darkness looks like? It's when you hate your brother, and it also is when you put more of your time and effort into the things that are passing away. What's passing away? 1 John says it's the things of this world that are passing away. Listen to me. In a few hours, we'll watch Super Bowl 50. One day, there will no longer be a Super Bowl. As somebody that loves the game of football and played the game of football and all of that type of stuff, I have to say this. Tonight, the game, whether you may be a huge Denver Broncos fan or Carolina Panthers fan, and that's okay, but that is not the most important thing that will happen today. Amen. Companies, I think, are spending $4.5 million for a 30-second commercial. And I'm all for capitalism. Good for them. But those things are not that important. If I gave you a sheet of paper today and I had you write down from 1 to 49 all the Super Bowl champions in order, probably none of us could do it. To be honest, I could get fairly close. And I say that to my shame because that's useless trivia. If we put 1 through 49, the Super Bowl MVPs, the guys that played the biggest and the biggest game of the year, say, "Well, who on earth is that?" Wasn't like Lynn Dawson the Super Bowl MVP of Super Bowl something? Maybe, no, he was on the losing end. Let's just say, let's throw Joe Namath out there, Super Bowl III. Okay, now he's still around. But if I said some other names, you're like, "I have no idea who that guy is," which is exactly my point. Big scheme, it's not that important. Things like the Super Bowl, those things are passing away. If you put more stock into that than you do your walk with the Lord, then you are walking in darkness. Everybody come to the Super Bowl fellowship tonight. In all seriousness, that's not that important. That's why we wanted to talk about the bread banks and all of that this morning, so we wouldn't get caught up in the hoopla of something that's really not that big a deal. Okay, we're going to have fun. I'm not knocking that. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to be here together. Case in point, this week, things that are passing away. If you interview teenagers in the United States of America today, and I'm not just talking about believers, I'm talking about typically non-believers or pretty secular-minded teenagers, and you ask them, who do you want to be like in the world? I would hope that the Lord was their answer. But this week, it's been pretty big in the news. There's a young man from the state of Texas named Johnny Manziel who is a talented football player. Johnny went to the Texas A&M, which is my favorite college team to root for, all that. He won the Heisman. I've never had more fun watching anybody play college football than Johnny Manziel. He was running around like crazy, doing stuff nobody should be able to do. He won the Heisman Trophy. He's in the NFL, he's 23 years old, and his dad made the statement this week that he doesn't know if he's going to live to be 24 if he doesn't get his life right. Our culture really pumps up that type of stuff. What does he do when he's not playing football? Manziel is a party animal. And we live in this culture that glorifies drugs and partying and women and all of those things. And we're proud. He's a good old all-American boy. As a 23-year-old kid who doesn't know his right hand from his left. And those things that we put so much stock into, those things are going away. I guarantee you right now, Johnny Manziel would switch lives with almost any one of us in this room. If we put more stock in the things of this world, the things that are passing away, the Bible says we are walking in darkness. Walk in the light. Walk in the light of God. Know Jesus Christ. Make Him the most important thing in your life. And you'll have joy, not just joy that's temporary, but joy that's eternal. Notes say this, people who walk in the dark choose gravel over diamonds. Those who walk in the dark choose prestige, power, and temporary pleasures. Whoever wins the MVP tonight in the Super Bowl, they'll be on the commercials and they'll say that they're going to Disney World or wherever they go. But the Bible doesn't say that when the Super Bowl's over, the angels rejoice in heaven. The Bible says when somebody comes to know the Lord Jesus, the angels rejoice in heaven. Walking in the light. Let's go back to verse 7 real quick. Quickly, I should say. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Walking in the light, what do? If we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another as believers. Second one is this, we also have cleansing from sin. Listen to this, Jesus, I believe 100% Jesus has covered my sin. Jesus has forgiven me of all of my sins, past, present, and future. But Jesus also came not only to cover sin, but also to conquer sin. When we say we confess, what verse is that in? Let's see. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, that word confess in the Greek literally means if we agree with God on what sin is. I know that the Lord has covered all of my sins, but on top of that, He has conquered sins. He does not want me to any longer be a slave to my own sinful desires. He's bigger than that. He doesn't just cover it up with a newspaper. No, he defeated it. Not only that, he defeated the end game of sin. He defeated death. You and I have hope for eternal life because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Death now for us is a minor inconvenience, an extremely temporary stopgap that ushers us into eternity. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We are cleansed from sin. Our sins are forgiven, and we are free from sin's control. And then lastly, and very quickly, verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Do you know anybody that would be so audacious to say, I have not, nor do I sin? I have a feeling that you don't know anybody that would say that. Now, some people want to debate over what sin is and all of that, and that's a different story. But ask all your coworkers, ask all your friends, ask your family members, are you perfect? I don't think any of them would say, yeah, I'm perfect. Even people that are cynics about even the existence of God, they wouldn't say that they are perfect. But if we say we don't have sin, the Bible says we have made him a liar. What if somebody says, I don't need God? What if somebody says, I don't need to repent? That's almost the same thing, is it not? I don't need to ask for forgiveness. Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Okay? You have wronged God. You need to ask for forgiveness. This morning, again, I know, and I say it jokingly, and it's all well and good. We went way off the notes this morning. Y'all don't know that because y'all didn't see my notes, all right? So just trust me, we did. But today, I think maybe our focus ought to be this, that we walk in light and don't walk in darkness. Don't let the cares of this world trump our love for the Lord in our life. Don't put so much time and effort in the things that are passing away. They no longer matter. One day, all the things that we see, your house, your favorite place to go eat, maybe it might be in Albuquerque or Dallas or wherever, those things won't be there anymore. But what's eternal? The Bible says your spirit is eternal. You'll spend eternity somewhere. There's no doubt about that in my mind. So I would say it's important to us to put a lot more time and effort and a lot more value into our eternity than we do in these things that are temporary and that are going away. This morning, if you don't know Jesus, I would jump at the chance to tell you about him. And I'm not the only one. We might have to thumb wrestle for the opportunity. This morning, the Bible is very clear that if somebody came to know Jesus today, not just at Highland, but at any church or any living room or vehicle in the world, the angels would celebrate that and not give a rip who wins the Super Bowl. Now, I know Jesus loves everybody that's involved with the Super Bowl, but as far as the outcome of the game itself, probably doesn't matter a whole lot. So if you don't know Jesus, guess what? You're in a good spot. I'm looking at quite a few people that could tell you how to know Jesus right now. Okay? If you do know Jesus, if you are a believer, if he has forgiven you of your sin and freed you from the consequences of your sin, the eternal consequences, I should say, but you've been caught up in putting too much worry and anxiety and stress into things that are passing away, the good news is that the Lord still receives that too, and he'll help you through that also. Bible says, and Peter, cast all your anxiety, cast all your burdens on him because he cares for you. Just like a loving father would do to their kids who are struggling with something, a father who is older, wiser, and just better equipped to handle those things would gladly take that from his kids and to shoulder that burden. God is the same way. The Bible says that if we are we'll confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive those sins. We just have to ask. That's the opportunity we have before us this morning. It's a bigger deal than winning the Super Bowl. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for today. God, I thank you for my brothers and sisters that are here today, my church family that you've blessed me with. God, I thank you for each one. Lord, I pray that for those of us that know the Lord, we've been forgiven. You have freed us from our sin. God, in heaven is our eternal home. God, but maybe many of us are guilty of stressing the things that are passing away, the things of the world, more so than the things of heaven, more than the things of God. Pray right now you would make that obvious to us, God, and that we would repent and rectify that, that we would ask for forgiveness of that. Lord, to help our focus to be more on the eternal things. Lord, if there is one or two, I have no idea. If there's anybody here, maybe everybody knows you, I have no idea. If there's somebody here that doesn't know you as personal Savior, God, I pray that you would do as the Bible says and lead them to repentance. The kindness of God, the Bible says, will lead them to repentance. Now, we would rejoice, but our celebration here would pale in comparison to the celebration in heaven. God, I believe that all with everything that I am, that those things are true. God, we thank you for loving us, even though not one of us deserve it. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
We'd love for you to join us at Highland Baptist Church in Clovis, New Mexico, Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Thank you for listening. For more audio sermons, visit us online at highlandclovis.com.